Well, that was stressful, wasn't it?
The most recent episode of Attack on Titan feels like the anime. If anxiety was an anime and was dressed in a military outfit, that's what the last episode of Attack on Titan would be.
It was just stress. The episode, like after they enter the restaurant, it's just downstairs going, "Oh god!"
I don't think there was a single minute of the episode where I didn't feel like my heart was in my throat.
It's just, oh, that's this whole episode. It's good, by the way. Don't get me wrong. This, like, it's stressful, but it's still a really good character-driven episode, this one.
Yeah, well, we're going to need to sort of, like, get through it real quick because we've got that and one episode of Ruby to cover this week.
Mm-hmm. Plus, we've got news to talk about, like, well, not news, but, like, stuff to bring up for the next few episodes of Attack on Titan, as well as season 3 as a whole, because there's something that's coming up that might be interesting to talk about. But starting off, we end up in a little village, and it's like, this place looks familiar. Oh, no.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what was going on here, and then you sort of realise, oh, this was Connie's village before it got turned into Titans. Oh, this is how they got turned into Titans.
Titans.
And
so, they literally did a gas attack. They literally gassed the whole village, and it had Zeke's spinal fluid, like, mixed in with it, and basically paralysed all of the villagers and turned them into Titans.
Well, and actually, here's the thing, because I remember at the very beginning of Season 4 when I asked you, well, hang on a second, if Zeke's scream can turn people into Titans, why doesn't he do that all the time? And you were like, they do explain it. And I was like, okay. And they did explain it. It only works if they've been infected, if you will, with his spinal fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And so they turn it into a gas, they breathe it in, and then scream and they become Titans. And that's also probably where he got all those Titans in the when he attacked Shigashina in the second half of Season 3.
Yeah, that too. Because, like, we saw all those Titans. Like, where the hell did they come from? It's most probably they brought a load of Eldians from Marley, yeah, and turned them into the Titans.
Anyway, so, and here's the thing that makes me laugh, because, like, it turns out, like, Zeke is explaining this to Levi, and you do get this great bit where Levi sort of points out, like, you slaughtered, like, your own people, and, like, he's like, don't forget the name of the village you slaughtered, and then Zeke's like, well, I didn't want to do it, and it's like, oh yeah, you're totally not a psycho, Zeke.
Which, the fact he says it in the most emotionless voice possible, and Levi's like, no, you didn't care, don't lie.
It's very much a case
don't try and cover it up.
Yeah, Zeke's very much like, oh, I want to, like, re-establish the Eldian Empire, but I will totally kill my own people to achieve it. Like, I have no morals. And
but it's like, ah, I feel no sympathy at all.
But the bit that makes me laugh is about that Zeke then says, why are you asking me this again? I already told you this. And I was like, well, here's why, Zeke. It's because the audience didn't know yet. And Levi, thankfully, was finally catching us up to speed.
It's like, yes, they know, Zeke, but we don't. It could also be a simple thing. He's trying to get under Levi's skin. And Levi's like, yeah, I'm having none of that.
Yeah. And it's a nice prologue where you sort of see just, like, more antagonism between the two.
It's setting up for the future.
Yeah,
it's setting things up, because, like, at the end of it, it's like some of the scouts like, Levi, we got things to tell you, and it's like, oh yeah, they're about to find out. What do you mean Zachary's dead?
What do you mean Eren's betrayed us?
Oh god, that moment is depressing, but we'll get to that, because that's not yet.
Yeah, because, like, that's not even, like, that doesn't, like, even get brought up the rest of the episode, because then we get to, sorry, what are you laughing at?
Sorry, it's not, that's the tip of the iceberg, the little cherry on top, because the rest of it is like, oh god, it's depressing.
Yeah, because I'd say the rest of it completely takes place at the restaurant where Gabby, yeah, Falco, and Sasha's family are going. And they arrive, they meet Niccolo. I'm sorry if I'm speeding through this, but like I said, there's a lot to get through, and I kind of want to just jump to the important parts. So
I did love Niccolo's surprise when he's like, oh yeah, I brought my whole family. Oh, you brought a lot of people with you. Yeah, you did say you'd make it free.
That is so many children. And then, oh, and then you get this bit where like Kaya's like, oh yeah, that Niccolo guy is the Malian, like, and like basically, you know, doing the whole like, oh yeah, he was really close with the girl who I idolize, who got shot by some random person whose identity remains a mystery to me, and I'm sure isn't in the same room right now with me, and like,
it's the fact Falco's like, oh
yeah, that's
no.
Right, Falco starts putting the pieces together. You could see him like realizing, oh no.
It's the fact that it's like from the moment she tells him, and it's obviously cut like a few minutes later when he's like at the table with his food, and it's like it's still like blue screened, like, oh no.
Yeah, and like then Hanji and her crew show up to talk to Niccolo, because to warn him about, you know, Eren betraying him, and like
and find out what he knows about Yelena and everything.
Yeah, of course, you guys know Malian.
And he takes him into a separate room, like further up, and then it's like, oh, look at this bottle of wine. I'm sure this ain't important for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, it's the moment where Niccolo snatches it out of Jean's hands, like, don't touch that! And I'm like, oh, you've so poisoned that wine.
If only it was poison, that might have been kinder. Don't worry, audience. We'll get there in a little bit.
And like,
he also has this moment where he's like, he starts insulting Sean and Connie, and they're like, "Dude, what the hell? What? Why are you insulting us? I thought we were over this by now." And it's very clear that, like, later on he tries to deny it, but I think it's also very clear he's like, "Nope, don't want you two to get involved."
Yeah, you
don't want used to get poisoned.
Well, that doesn't become apparent until like towards the end of the episode when we find out what's in the wine. But and then, you know, Niccolo's like down in like the wine cellar, and this is when Falco and Gabby sneak away to like talk to him, because they're like, you know, this bloody scene. It's like, we're from Mali, we're the warrior candidates.
Oh,
and Niccolo's like, wait, how did you get here? And it's like, well, we snuck aboard the ship that got brought in. And Niccolo's like, I got a second. No, that's right, because Gabby's like, we got on an airship and rode it here. Also, I shot a woman in the stomach. It was really cool. Like, her blood went everywhere.
Before that, he does go, wait, did you kill someone? And Falco's immediately like, oh no, oh no, oh no. He's like trying to shut Gabby up, and Gabby's like, yeah, I totally shot someone. And it's like, oh,
it's
Gabby, why are you so dumb?
It's the glee she says it with. Like, she's so like, yeah, it was awesome. And Niccolo's like, okay, I'm killing a child tonight. And
like, he's literally like, so you're the one who took her away? And literally gets the wine bottle and tries to smash it. Falco pushes Gabby out the way and takes the hit. It's like, ooh, it's rough the next few minutes.
I honestly don't know, because I'm assuming Falco does survive this, but I find...
Oh, yeah, he's alive.
Yeah, because, like, that's a glass bottle to the head, and he's a child. There is so much blood. Like, I don't know how he could have... What?
In real life, that would have done a lot of damage, because, like, wine bottles are thick.
Like,
They're not thin bottles, like little like beer bottles. This is a wine bottle. It's thick.
Just before
it's like, thick glass.
Just before he lost consciousness, Falco was like, "Man, I sure, I'm glad this is an animated show."
Thank God the show's not too realistic, Blair.
And then it cuts to like Niccolo coming up to like to see the rest of the family. He's got like. He's basically holding an unconscious, bloodied Falco hostage, throws Gabby... By the way, he punched Gabby in the face as well. He then throws her to the ground and says, hey, Mr. Browse, this is the girl who killed Sasha. Let's murder her together. And
it's like, Browse is just like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, and he even hands Sasha's dad a knife, and is all like, oh, if you won't kill her, I will. Is that okay? And
it's the fact that it's this moment of silence, like seeing the reactions. We see Sasha's dad and everyone like, obviously, like, what the hell's going on? We see Niccolo crazed, and then it just cuts to the doorway, and Armin standing and are like, what's going on?
It's like, and now the peanut gallery's here.
It's literally like, Arby's like, I just came to ask where the bathroom was. What's going on?
And like, to be fair to this scene, I legit did not know where it was going to end. I was thinking,
it's
like,
a really well done scene.
Because, like, you know, the moment when Niccolo says, "This is the girl that killed Sasha," you see the whole family sort of staring in horror as they're sort of contemplating this. And, you know,
processing this information.
And, like, and to be fair to Gabby, like, she's still looking out for Falco. Like, she does, you know, she can tell he's dying. And, like,
smashed over the head with a wine bottle.
Yeah, I think she even says, like, you know, "Not Falco." Like,
yeah, and it's, I do also love just how Niccolo breaks down at this moment. Like,
yeah, because he says, "Oh, you care about him? Well, I cared about someone too, and you killed her." So,
like, and like the fact that he's like, "I all thought you were monsters." Like, Sasha showed me how happy I could be making food for people, how happy I could make other people, and you took that from me. And it's like, it says so much in just a short amount of time, and it's really goddamn tragic.
Yeah, and this is the moment where I can see Gabby finally sort of realizing the like what she's done. Although she does also, she just kind of fire back by saying, like, "Oh, but Sasha killed my people too. You know, she's not blameless in this." And it's at this point where, like, Sasha's dad's like, "Niccolo, give me the knife." And I was like, "Oh my god, is he actually?" I legit was thinking, I didn't know what he was gonna do. And then
it's the fact there's no music and it's his footsteps, these heavy footsteps, him holding the knife like as if he's like about to like slash. Hanjay's like, "Please don't. Please stop."
Yeah, but then Sasha's dad decides to be the coolest person in the entire show and is like, "No, I'm not gonna kill her." Hands the knife to his wife, who then puts the knife on the table because even she's like, no, I ain't killing a child today. And
I love Sasha's parents. Like, they legitimately like it's been like Sasha's dad's like it's basically saying, like, we cannot continue this cycle. Like, if we continue this, it's never going to end.
Yeah.
Like, this endless bloodshed needs to stop.
And I think he sort of like acknowledges that you know, Sasha is ultimately not blameless in all this, that she did probably kill a bunch of innocent people, or at the very least, you know, killed people who also had families and people who cared about them. I think the line is like, "I reckon Sasha died because she wandered in the forest too long."
Like, yeah,
which I think is a really nice way of putting it. And he says, "We've got to keep the young ones out of the forest." Like, he wants to make the world a better place for the children while he still can. And like,
and again, to just end this bloodshed that everyone gets caught up in. And I also do love it that they legitimately, it's not a thing of like, "Oh, we're ending this cycle, but we don't like you, Gabby." They are legitimately like, "Gabby, are you okay?" Like, yeah, they're still looking out for her. It's like, oh my god, you two cannot die. You two cannot die.
Because you are precious. I can only dream of one day being as cool as Sasha's dad, or to be as strong as him.
To be as strong and forgiving and still looking out for other people.
And the thing is, though, during the scene, it's like really sweet. Like, they turn to her and say, "Hey, are you okay?" And she's like, "You don't hate me." And then Kaya grabs the knife and is like, "Oh, no, there it is."
It's the fact that she charges around that table with that knife. It's like, oh my god.
It's the fact that Sasha's parents are the ones who...
Sorry, you go on.
I was going to say the exact same thing as you. The fact that it's Sasha's parents are the ones who hold her back.
I love it. We were both caught up in the moment. Like, oh my god.
Yeah.
I'm keeping that in. But yeah, it's just that moment, like, the knife is literally like right next to Gabby's neck. It's like, I think this is also the moment where Gabby like realizes, wow, I'm kind of an awful person, because she's like shocked that Kaya's like, and Kaya's screaming at her.
Yeah,
like, full credit for the voice actress for Kaya, because my god.
Also, like, the way her face is drawn during that moment, like, that is pure hate.
That is, it's a mix of emotions of hatred, rage, and grief.
Yeah, because, like, you know, she was all like, "Oh, like, I trust this girl," and then to find out that, like, because again, you know, Sasha's parents are both adults. They like have, you know, they can come to the conclusion to not seek revenge. But like, how old's Kaya meant to be? Like, she's a child. Of course, yeah. Her instant reaction is gonna be, no, you killed someone I cared about. I want you dead now. And yeah, and it's the moment where like you see Gabby sort of being like, gently taken away down the hall, and she can still hear the screams in the background. Oh. And I'm looking at Gabby going, come on, Gabby, I can feel you're on the cusp of a revelation here. Like, you are almost there.
It's the fact that it cuts back to like the browsers like holding Kaya back and just all of them crying together. Yeah. It's like, oh my god, my heart.
Because at the end of the day, yeah, like they're still mourning for Sasha. It does, like them choosing to like maybe if not forgive Gabby, but at least like willing to just to leave their hatred at the door. It doesn't change how painful it was losing her. And maybe the tears are also a result of them realizing that, like, sort of acknowledging that, oh yeah, we're totally letting her kill her, Garth scot-free, and it's like, but that's
it makes it that, and also just seeing Kaya break down as well, yeah. Like, that's also going to be hard on them.
And then things don't get better, because then Niccolo's like, well, I guess I better start trying to redeem myself. You may want to wash Falco's mouth out, he got some of the wine in there, and Hanji's like, why, what's in the wine?
And it's like, what do you mean, what's in the wine? And it's like, and then he goes, it might have Zeke's spinal fluid. So, what do you mean?
So I was half right when I said they put the Titan juice in the wine. I was almost there. So I was like, oh, I know what the plan is. Oh.
And the great thing is, that type of wine bottle has been, since they got back from Marley, that has been in near enough every scene, in every episode.
I think Niccolo even says later on that, like, a big shipment of it was brought in a while ago. So, because I remember thinking, like, how did it really just this one wine bottle? And it's like, no, there's loads of it. And all of it's got the spinal fluid in it. And I'm like, oh, no!
Can you just imagine if it was just one wine bottle?
That's what I was, like, really confused by. But I was like, okay, this makes way more sense.
It's just, it never runs out. That should have been the first clue.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this wine bottle never runs out. This seems a bit weird.
And then we cut back to Levi chatting with the scouts away on a tree, and he's like being caught up on what's going on. And at this point,
Poor Levi.
Sorry, what?
I was going to say, poor Levi.
Oh.
Levi needs a hug after this.
Levi is going to murder so many people by the end of this season, I'm convinced.
Oh, he's going to murder Eren. Like, because they tell him like what's happening, like the Jaegerist, the fact that Zachary's dead, and like Levi has a revelation, like, I've been saving Eren so many times and so many people have died because of it. And behind him you see flashbacks of all, like, it shows like bits and pieces like Erwin and other characters, but the ones it focuses on is his squad. Remember them back, yeah, from season one?
That's a good shot. That was a really good shot, and I like that. And I do like this bit of Levi sort of realizing that he pinned all his hopes on Eren, where even when all these people died around him, he was convinced, well, it's gonna work out in the end. And then Eren's just turned on him, and it's like, he's probably thinking, I should have stabbed that kid in the neck years ago.
Yeah, he literally says, like, that piece of shit needs to die. It's like, oh, he is.
Yeah, also, just for real quick, they actually do mention beforehand that even though Pixis said that he was willing to surrender to the Aegorists, he is also formulating a plan. So he's like, he hasn't quite given up. He's like, he's trying to devise something. So there's something going on in the background.
Hopefully he'll figure it out something in time.
Yeah, and then cut back to the restaurant, and Niccolo's like, I don't actually know what the plan is, but I was just told to serve this wine to like all the officers. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's meant to be like, I'm assuming, all like the most higher, yeah, the high ranking officers.
Yeah,
because if those guys get turned into Titans, oh my god.
That's the whole chain of command gone. That's game over. And it's like, it goes like, yeah, Yelena. And it's like, on Yom Kippon's even like, I did not get involved in this. I didn't know about this.
Hey, I'm on your side. Like,
right, so on Yom Kippon's definitely innocent. How many of the others are also innocent?
And
Yom Kippon's great. He's on the level.
Yeah, and there's also the moment where Connie's like, well, hang on a second, they told us that anyone who inhales the spinal fluid gets paralysed. And I was like, that's true, we saw it in the flashback. And Hanji goes, yeah, but to be fair, only Zeke told us that. And I'm like, oh, no!
He can't stop lying!
Is your name even Zeke? No.
Is Eren really your brother? No.
Is that even a beard? No.
It's like Yelena's beard, fake beard. He just pulls it off.
It turns out Zeke and Yelena are the same person. Oh!
Oh!
Like, have we ever seen him in the same room?
Wait a minute.
No, that'd be a silly twist.
Oh. But yeah, I also do love, like, the little character moment that Niccolo has where, like, they're like, oh, yeah, you took the wine bottle out of our hands to save us. And he's like, he's still processing. And then he goes like, oh my god, I tried to kill a child. What the hell is wrong with me?
Yeah, he sort of comes down.
I do like that.
He comes down from his revenge high and is like, oh, wow, I am a bad person.
But that's kind of the thing, isn't it? Like grief and hatred and revenge, like, will take over. And it's that moment of, if he still continued, like, no, she deserves to die, then he'd be like, okay, this is badly written. But it's the fact that afterwards he's like, I nearly killed a child. What the hell is wrong with me?
Yeah.
And it's well done, is what I'm saying. I like it.
I also...
And then we cut... Sorry, what were you about to say?
Well, I was about to say, again, the exact same thing you were about to say, where we cut to Gabby with Mikasa and Armin, and she's trying to process, how come you guys are protecting me? And it's like, I killed your friend. Like, you should... And I also, like, killed that guard. Like, shouldn't you two hate me and want me dead? And Armin's like... No, I don't. I don't.
It's like it's always kill and kill with you. It's like someone else I know. And that person happens to be Eren, who literally walks in the shot at
Sorry.
That second.
Sorry, before we do that, I do also want to quickly go back, because Gabby does have a moment where she's like, kill me, not Falco. Like, she so badly wants to protect Falco. I feel like that's, like, Gabby's biggest redeeming quality, is that even through all of this, like, she still cares about Falco. And I do like that moment. Like, seeing Falco, like, take the hit for her is such, like, no, I can't lose him too. And it's like, oh. But then, yeah, like you said, the show keeps doing this. You know, it's just, like, just casually dropping, like, big reveals. It even took me, like, half a second to realize that was Eren. I was like, he walks into the room and I was like, oh, hey, Eren. Hey, wait a minute.
It is. It's the season 4 equivalent of I'm the Armor Titan, Bertolt's the Colossal Titan. Well, it's like... Wait a minute.
It's the fact that he walks in and holds up his hand, it's already cut. So that's immediately like, oh, we can't do anything because he could transform any second.
It's like, oh, Eren, you piece of shit.
Speaking of pieces of shit, Floke shows up. And though, to be fair, I said this to James when we first watched the episode. I actually quite like Floke now, because now he's embracing being a shit.
It's like, oh, you little shit goblin.
Like,
he
comes in, takes everybody hostage, is all like, I'm sure Commander Pixis is trying to, like come up with a plan to stop us.
Yeah, he literally says, like, oh, yeah, we're not accepting your terms. We're taking over. It's like, oh, yep, here we go.
And
it gets everyone at gunpoint.
And it turns out as well that, like, the other chef that was working with Niccolo was, like, working with the Jaegerists as well. And Niccolo's like, what the hell, man?
It's the fact that... Here's the thing. He's working with the Jaegerists, but he's already like, you're too close with the Eldians. It's like, ah, oh, so you're just an asshole.
Yeah, and it's...
It's like... We get to see more of that guy, by the way, and it's like, oh...
Oh, what, does he become
I look forward to when you get your...
Does he become an important character?
I look forward to
character?
His comeuppance. Not oh, important, okay. But I look forward to his comeuppance.
Well, now that I know he gets comeuppance.
You'll see.
And it's also this moment where Hanji's like, listen, we can't be fighting amongst ourselves because Zeke's spinal fluid has been put in all like the... In, like, the... Well, I don't think she says that. I think she just mentions that like Zeke's spinal fluid is in the wine. But then Floke gives away that he already knows that all the high-ranking officers have drank it.
Mm.
And Hanji's like... Wait, are you working with Zeke? And then Floke turns around with the biggest shit-eating grin I've ever seen. And that was the moment where I was like, okay, I like this guy now. Because he's such a bastard.
You know what it is? It's the Akechi smile.
It is a bit, isn't it?
It's the Akechi smile when he shows his true colours. It's like, oh my god.
And it's the moment where like Hanji's like yelling at him and he's like, use your inside voice, please. And I'm like, oh, this, like... Oh, like... villain Floke is way better than, I'm Floke, I want to establish a new world. Now that he's just straight up a villain, he's like such a he's so much more entertaining. I hope he keeps this level of evilness throughout the rest of his appearances. I still want him to die. I still want somebody to shove a bayonet up his ass. But like, I can enjoy his presence a lot more now.
He's not just like, oh, just please go away.
Yeah, and I think this pretty much like marks the end of the episode, because Floke then knocks the door and is all like, hey, we got him. And like, Mikasa, Armin and Gabby are just trapped in a room with Eren.
It's the fact this whole time Gabby's been like, I'm going to kill Eren Jaeger. Eren's right there. And she's literally like, what the hell am I doing?
Well, she's probably
like, processing.
Well, she probably knows she can't do anything in that position. And it ends with Eren saying, I wanted to talk with you guys. Which to me just sounds as if him just walking. I want the next episode to begin with him sat down at his table and just going, okay, I know you guys are upset with me.
I heard you guys wanted to talk with me. Well, here I am.
If it wasn't, I'm convinced that like next episode is going to be the big Eren reveals why he's a bad guy now. Like, he's going to explain the whole plan. And he's going to be all like, okay, look, I know you guys are angry with me for all the stuff I did, but let me explain. And he's going to explain it. And he's going to be like, okay, now I've explained it to you guys. You guys help me out? And Mikasa's going to go, well, now that I'm thinking about it and you've explained to all and considering it for a bit longer, I'm going to say, and then just stab him in the face.
I wish.
I can't wait for like the reveal for like Eren's big plan is going to be, listen, I had to do all of this, otherwise a greater evil will emerge. And it's like, what? Oh, you see, the Titan prophecies speak of like an ancient evil that will awaken if we don't destroy Marley. And it's like, wait, what Titan prophecy? Did you just pull this out of your ass?
Okay, that would be dumb.
Just introduces whole new plot elements, like 10 episodes before the end of the show. I don't know how many more episodes season 4's got, but
let me actually get onto that, because a couple of little bits of news I was talking about earlier. So you may notice that we only talk about one episode of Attack on Titan, not two that we meant to. And that's because on Sunday there was an earthquake, so the episode got halted. So we're going to be having two episodes this Sunday.
What?
Yep, 73 and 74 are both dropping on the same day.
Oh, no.
And I was going to say the next episode is the one I'm going to watch with you, but sod it, we're watching both of them together.
Okay.
So much happening.
It's just going to be 40 minutes of me going, what?
Some bitch, yes. And then apparently, the show's going to end by the end of the month. Like,
really?
Yeah, apparently we've only got a couple of episodes left. And I'm like, right, so it's going to be mid-season hiatus. And some people are saying, oh, nope, it's going to turn out this is the end of the series. I'm like, well, they can't, because there's essentially another half season to do.
Yeah,
and like, then some people are saying that it might be a movie that ends it, and I'm like, please no, because that would be a dumb idea.
Yeah, like the way you've been like the way you've talked about the manga so far makes it sound like we've still got so much more to get through.
Oh, we have. Like, if it ends where I think it is going to end, and I'm pretty sure I'm right, we still have essentially another half of a season.
Yeah,
it would be like if they did the first half of season 3, so all the uprising arc, in series form, and then tried to do Return of the second half, the Shinganshina stuff, in a movie. Like, you'd lose a lot.
I mean, I feel like the Shiganshina arc could feasibly be done in a movie, depending on how long the movie is. But like, I really don't want that to be how they wrap up Attack on Titan. At least with the way it's like. At least from what I can tell from where the show is going. Obviously, I don't know how it ends, but I can't imagine like a movie sort of doing it well.
Doing it justice, yeah. Especially considering the manga is finishing next month. Like, the manga is literally finished next month. The last chapter, we've had the penultimate one. We've got the final chapter coming out next month. So I'm still calling it. It's like it's going to be a mid-season hiatus. I really hope it's not a movie because that would be really dumb.
It just the last episode is just a guy in a chair speed reading the manga.
No, they do an Evangelion. Just everyone's clapping, going, "Congratulations, congratulations,
congratulations, Aaron."
No one's congratulating Aaron. Sod that.
I still can't wait for the show to end with, like, I guess Aaron was the true hero all along.
I will literally break a chair.
Oh, like, it, oh, he had to do what he did for the sake of the world. It's gonna be like,
I beg to differ. The many people who died will beg to differ.
And Aaron's like, well, let's hear them. Oh, that's right, I can't hear them because they're dead.
That's one thing I would like when someone goes, it's very easy to say that you were in the right when so many people can't speak for themselves at this point.
Yeah, I hopefully will just be like a, you know, mid-season hiatus. Though the idea of a Attack on Titan final season part two is just very funny to me.
Yeah. It's the second half of the final season. It's like, huh. But yeah, that's, apparently it is by the end of this month, it's going to be like... stopped. I'm still calling it. It's gonna be mid-season hiatus.
Yeah,
can't do a movie. Maybe OVAs, but I just, it's, the thing is, if they did it like, okay, it's a series of OVAs, why don't you just do a TV series again?
Yeah,
just make it the second half of the show.
I wouldn't like a bunch of OVAs. Just give me the series.
Yeah, but yeah, that's the stuff to bring up. So it's gonna be interesting the next few weeks. And it probably means next week we're probably going to be doing those two episodes of Attack on Titan.
Yeah, maybe. Because we definitely won't be able to fit both of those and Ruby.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of Ruby...
Yeah, so... Okay, so this episode begins with the team arriving at Atlas to meet Ironwood, who, by the way, has now upgraded his guns into one big gun. Which I'm like, that legit looks really stupid.
The whole time I'm like, just like, have you got a small penis? Well, have we got the gun for you? It's like, it's two handguns stuck to a cannon, and it looks really, really dumb.
Yeah, and like he's standing there waiting to go, no, the rest of the Aesops are there just being a trio of pissants. And
oh my god, like there's one moment when Harriet's like, if the kids show their faces, we take them down immediately. Like, we're not playing around anymore. And Vine just, like, sighs. And he goes, just... And I literally wanted to go, please just say, just shut up. Please. Please just tell Harriet to shut up. Please.
Sadly, no.
Sadly, no, because he's complicit.
Yeah, and then they... Ironwood gets, like, a call saying that, like, Crow and Robin are in, like, the hangar, I think.
Yeah, basically getting in the way of the bomb.
Yeah, so the Aesops go to stop it because Winter shows up. Like, yeah, the Aesops can go. I'm going to stick by Ironwood. And I'm like, sure you will, Winter. I'm sure you're still completely loyal to him.
I do love the little bit when she's like, she tries to talk to him and he goes, I hope you're not trying to stop me. And there's a moment of silence and she's like, no, I know that won't work. And I'm like, you tried. You tried, Winter.
I would so dumb the fact that he doesn't immediately twig. Winter's probably going to betray me.
Well, I think it's like he's so used to her, like, being his right hand that he wouldn't think that she'd betray him. And it's like, no, she has a conscience, Ironwood.
Well, it's at this
you
point...
You should get one too.
Because Penny shows up and, you know, Winter puts the cuffs on her. And Ironwood's still... God, he's such
still
a dick.
Still holding that... It's the moment of, oh, you made the right choice.
Yeah,
you did the right thing. That's my favourite line of the episode.
Do you want to do it?
I did. Feels weird. And then suddenly it disappears and it's Emerald. And it's like, yes!
It's the moment she goes, like you did the right thing. I did. Vroom, feels weird. Kicks Ironwood in the face and the music kicks in and I'm like, oh my god, yes, oh my god, yes, oh my god, yes. And like,
it's so great.
It cuts between team It cuts between Jean, Ren, Nora, and Oscar fighting Ironwood, as well as cutting back to also Crow and Robin fighting a bunch of robots in the hangar. And then it cuts back to the first, to the Ironwood fight, and then Winter just joins in and starts attacking Ironwood too. And I'm like, wait, what? Wait, what? And like Nora,
where were you in on this, Winter?
And when it cuts back to the, like the Aesop show up to fight Crow and Robin, and then you hear "Stay," and it's Marrow freezing them. I'm like, this is so cool. This is such an amazing fight. Oh, it's over.
It's very abrupt. It's the fact that after that, like, Ironwood, like, smashes Oscar and Winter away because they're, like, they're riding this huge lion. It's like, this is so cool. And then there's a bit where Oscar, like, smacks Ironwood around. Ironwood grabs his staff. And then Winter does something? She was going to cut his arm off or something. There's a flash of blue light, and it's like, he's out.
It's the anime thing where, like, she just slashes by him, there's, like, a flash, and then Ironwood was, like, frozen in place, and he just falls over. And I'm like, which was cool. Oh, but this was so short. I'm so let down.
It was a very quick fight.
It's so short, and, like, it felt too easy. Like, Ironwood was, like, one of our two primary antagonists of this volume. And so you think, okay, he's going to be the big final climactic fight. And he's not. And he gets taken out very quickly. And also, the Crow and Robin fight against the Aesops, that's not even a fight. Because the moment the Aesops show up, Marrow freezes them. And that's it. The fight's over because they can't do anything. So I'm like, this is so volume 5 to me. It's like, here's two really cool ideas for fights. But because they're happening at the same time, means neither of them gets... I mean, okay... Here's the thing, though.
I'd say two things. Say one, it's handled much better than Volume 5.
Oh, yeah. Like, here's the thing, though. The Ironwood fight is an actual fight.
Yes. It's done really well. And I think it is. It's they're saving the budget for, like, the last couple of episodes.
That's what it...
Because that's when we're going to get the end fight.
That's what it feels like to me. Like, as this... I've said it multiple times throughout this volume, that I feel like there's been a serious dearth of good action. Like, there's been action, but we haven't had any good fights. Like, really strong fights. Like, all the fights so far have been pretty middling. And Volume 5 was the same. Until right at the very end, when you got the Raven versus Cinder fight, and watching that fight, you're like, this is where all the fight money went. And it feels like the same is happening for this. So I'm convinced we will get a really cool fight at the end of this volume, but it sucks that it required all the other fights to be pretty weak, in my opinion, which is a shame because the Ironwood fight, it's so satisfying seeing him get the shit kicked out of him, but it ends so abruptly, and then the next time you see him, Winter just throws him in a jail cell, and I'm like, oh, I guess that's over, bye Ironwood.
I would still say it's still above Volume 5's fights, because at least the Ironwood fight anyway was still really good. I'd still say Volume 5's other fights were just crap.
again, my issue with the fight is that it's way too short.
Yeah.
And once it's over, we then have a, here's what happened before, and it turns out Winter phoned Weiss to go, hey sis, I've made some terrible decisions, can I join your team? And
I do love it that when she puts Mara in, he goes, why did you hit me? He was about to shoot you. I will also say that when she puts him in, she crosses her arms and just stands there looking... She's meant to look furious, but I'm not going to lie, she just looks a little bit like a child not getting the toy she wanted.
Yeah, she's very clearly pouting.
Yeah, it's like, that's not the right emotion you were going for, was it, Rooster Teeth?
And we do get the scene we wanted where we get to see them meeting Crow and Robin in the elevator. And it's like, but it's more of a case of Winter's like, oh, sweet, help! And...
You were exactly what I was looking for.
Anyway, it turns out the plan was, like, Ruby's team realizes, hey, wait a second, why don't we let Penny open the vault and use the Staff of Creation? And it's like, oh yeah, why didn't we think of that? And the plan is to use the Staff of Creation to try and teleport everyone from Atlas and Mantle to Vacuo, which is where I'm assuming the next volume will take place, because that's where Mercury and Tyrion were heading to, and it's where the next relic is.
How convenient.
But I don't think it's convenient. I think it's the heroes planning, like, well, we've got to go to Vacuo anyway, so let's just send everybody there. But the problem is that because Ozpin / Oscar sort of explained that because the Staff of Creation is being used to keep Atlas floating, the moment they use it to make anything else, Atlas starts coming down. So like it can't.
Yeah.
So it can't have two of its creations active, I guess, at the same time. I'm going to be honest. Staff of Creation's a little bit of a misleading name, in my opinion, because it's not necessarily... I mean, I guess it kind of is, but, like, making Atlas float, is that really, like... I suppose they must have made something to make it float. Am I just being nitpicky? I sound like I'm being nitpicky.
Yeah, it's a very interesting take on the wish formula, because it's not a simple, I want this, there we go, done. Like, it's a very different take on a genie. It's weird, but I actually kind of like it.
Well, it's definitely like, interesting. Like, I actually didn't even consider the fact that all the other relics would have their own spirits like Jin. So the moment, like, Oscar starts talking about him, I'm like, oh, I suppose there would be a spirit for the staff. And he describes him as a craftsman. And apparently, if you want him to make something, you need to actually understand how it would be made. Like, he needs actual mm-hmm. blueprints and schematics and stuff. And I'm like, okay, I get that's a neat, like, sort of a... way of stopping them from just going, hey, teleport everyone out of here. Okay, done. Like, you need to actually explain how you would move all these people. You need to create a system mm-hmm. yourself.
Especially because he does reference the rules that the genie had back in the Disney movie. Like, I'm assuming you know I can't bring people back to life. Like, all that stuff. But anyway, they go through, like, the hole in the floor.
Which I actually really like, the fact they go through the hole that Oscar made when he escaped the end of Volume 7. And Team Ruby take Penny to the vault. Though I really sort of wonder, why didn't Jean go with them just so he could help bolster Penny's aura for a bit longer until they remove a virus? But I guess the writers needed it to be Team Ruby. Because it doesn't matter. It's not like it makes that much of a difference, because, like, spoilers, she saved anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get there.
It's fine. It's totally fine.
They open the vault. They activate the staff just before, because you can see Penny just about, like, the virus is just about to kill her. So yeah. Ruby grabs the staff and he causes, obviously, time to stop. And...
Sir Waldo! Sorry, couldn't resist.
Yeah, and at this point, so... I because, like, what's his name again? Ambrosius?
Ambrosia.
And, like... If Jin was eye candy for all the guy viewers, Ambrosia is definitely eye candy for all the girl viewers.
He essentially is like the Greek Adonis, essentially. Yeah. Like, he's... I love this character. Like, I love his personality and everything. I like the voice.
Yeah, I was convinced it was Troy Baker at first, but it's not.
Thank you! I was thinking exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of his actor, but I checked his IMDb and he's very new. He's had so few roles already.
Keeps it up like this, he's gonna do fine, because he's definitely got a good voice.
Yeah, I actually going back to the personality, because at first when he started talking, I was like, oh, is he gonna be like really pompous and arrogant? But the moment like he starts like looking at Penny, he's like, oh my god, whoever made this robot is amazing. I want to meet him. And it's like, oh, okay. So he's a bit snobby, but like he respects and appreciates heart like fine work.
Yeah,
and
it's not the people that he looks down on. It's like small ideas. Like, it's like the, oh, you just want to keep this up in the air. Okay, that's boring, whatever. But when it's like, okay, we want you to do this to our friend Penny, he's like, okay.
Yeah, because they...
That's interesting.
Yeah, so this was just like, I remember watching this and just sort of trying to wrap my head around it, because I was struggling to make sure it made sense. And they're like, okay, here's what we want you to do. We want you to make an exact copy of Penny. Like, what? But like...
Yeah, it was a weird one, this one.
Okay, let's see if I can remember, because they have him make another copy of Penny, and they move Penny's soul into this second Penny, leaving behind the robot with the virus in it, which, of course, means that since they're removing Penny's aura, it means she doesn't have the robot parts. So Penny is basically given... She becomes a real girl. Like, that...
We go full circle with the Pinocchio analogy, and she becomes a real gal.
Yeah, because obviously he can't destroy, so he can't destroy. So it wouldn't be a case of like, you know what? I'm not going to think about it too much. The point,
is one that's a little bit like care.
I'm definitely going to need to properly rewatch it again at a later date to try and fully comprehend it. But the end result is that Penny's original body is left behind and left to die with the virus in it.
Can I say that was still a creepy ass
bit? No. I'm mistaken. It wasn't her original body, because I remember it like disintegrates because it was something he created. Yeah. So what he did was he removed by removing the virus and putting it into a second body, but he also removed all the technological bits, leaving behind Penny's original body as a human being.
Yes.
Yeah. So the people listening are going to be like, what are you talking about?
Look, bottom line, she's human now.
Yeah, and it's... even. It was like, when it happened, I was like, okay, this is not a surprise. Like, if you're at all familiar with Pinocchio, we all kind of expected this to happen one day. But it's still really nice.
It's just Penny being sweet.
I will say, it's gonna take some getting used to seeing her with human legs. That, like, just seeing her as actual human was like, this is just weird. Like,
this whole sequence reminds me not just of Pinocchio, it also reminds me a little bit of Little Mermaid, like when Ariel first gets her legs.
A tiny bit. It's the moment where, like, we're kind of jumbing ahead.
She's
a bit.
She's hugging everybody.
Yeah, she hugs. It just goes around hugging everybody. Which I thought was nice.
Do hugs always make you feel warm inside? Yes. Oh my god.
I did, like, somebody grabbed at the image of Penny hugging Weiss and sort of Ruby looking at them and being like, wow, Ruby, you get two girlfriends. And I was like, you know what? I'll take it.
Oh.
Anyway, the thing is, though, because Ambrosia made this second Penny, it means Atlas starts falling. So Jean gets on all the phones to, like, warn the people that, oh, hey, Atlas is falling. Unfortunately, he gets to say is, Atlas is falling, but, and then, like, communications get cut off. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to start a panic.
Gee, I wonder who did that. Well, savvy man did that?
Yeah, at first I thought it was Watts 2, but is it not possible that because Atlas has started dropping, that communications would just automatically shut down?
I'd say yes, but I'd also say that's too convenient.
Okay, so for the time being, we're going to assume it's Watts.
Yeah, essentially, when in doubt, blame Watts.
And everyone's just like, crap, well, now what do we do?
Now what do we do? And at this point it's like, right, create the doorways. As I just see all these doorways form up, and it's like, do we walk through?
Well, before that, we see Winter throwing Ironwood in jail, and then she's explaining to Jacques what the plan is, and she mentions, oh, by the way, we are going to save you, and he's like, oh, thank you, and Winter's like, don't thank me, thank Weiss, and it's like, oh, yeah, suck it, Jacques, you piece of shit.
Screw you!
Yeah, but yeah, though, yeah, because I remember, because then after that, we get the bit where Penny realizes, oh, I'm a human being now, though she does get to enjoy seeing her body die, which I'm like, yeah, add more trauma to her, go on.
I was about to say, she has a moment like, oh, I just saw my body disintegrate.
Though I will say, it's gonna be real funny, because don't forget, Pietro's still out there and thinks she's dead. So he's gonna get hit with a double whammy of, oh, thank god, my daughter's alive. Wait, my daughter's human now?
Oh my god, I actually kind of forgot a bit about Maria and Pietro, just kind of, they're kind of in the air. Just like, are we ever going to get saved?
Penny's like, oh wait, no, she has. I was about to make a joke that she couldn't fly anymore, but I was like, oh wait, winter maiden powers, never mind.
When in doubt, winter maiden powers.
Anyway, like, and then they ask Ambrosia to then make all the portals to get to transport to Vacchio. So it's like, they've already actually come up with like a map for him to use, or like a blueprint, and it's basically just a bunch of interconnecting portals, which I'm not going to think about it too much, because again, it's another moment where my brain kind of shut down hearing them try to explain it.
It reminds me a bit of, I know you never watched Rebels, but it reminds me a little bit of, there's a sequence in Rebels where there's these massive doorways that of the Force that like lead to past events. It kind of looks a little bit like that. I was there like, I know that's not what it's happening, but it looks very familiar.
The thing that makes me laugh is that these portals pop up in front of everybody in Atlas and Mantle, yeah. And everyone's reaction is to go, that's weird. Let's walk through it. It's like,
they don't know.
Like, Jean didn't get the chance to explain to them, hey, a bunch of weird portals are going to open up. You need to trust us to just walk through them, because they will get you to safety.
They walk through and it's the Avengers Endgame bit.
Oh my god.
Just Thanos is sitting there like, wait, what?
Oh yeah, and then we get like this really menacing bit where like they all take off to leave and Ambrose is like, oh yeah, by the way, one thing, don't fall. And it's like, well, that's not foreshadowing.
Oh gee, I wonder if someone's going to fall.
Well, I didn't realise, I completely missed it, but don't forget, in the Volume 8 opening, it ends with Team Ruby falling into some kind of abyss, which looks a lot like that Nexus of Portals. I'm like, Ooh. Oh, they're all going to fall.
And it's like, is that what's going to happen? Like, Volume 9, one section of the cast is going to be like in vacuo trying to sort things, and the rest, and Team Ruby's trying to get out.
Here's what I want. If this does happen and Team Ruby do fall into the abyss, I want Volume 9 to literally just be Team Ruby.
Mm.
Don't cut back to the others. Let us spend the entire volume going, what's happening with everybody else? Like, just give us Team Ruby, because I feel like having it entirely focused on them would just solve a lot of the recurring issues we've had with the series so far. We've been saying trim the cast for years, and like, this is fine. Okay, this is how we do it.
It is literally gift wrapped for you.
And then they're like, just as they're about to go in, Ruby's like, oh, let's just hope we thought of everything. And we just see Cinder in the crowd of people about to evacuate. And I'm like, okay, if this finale better be Team Ruby versus Cinder in the big Nexus. That would just be really cool. Please be cool.
And at least, oh, can you imagine if Cinder also ends up falling too?
Well, her last name is Fall.
Aha! That's why she keeps falling and failing.
Here's my question, though, is the fact that, like, what happened with her and Neo then? Did Neo give... Neo must have given her the lamp. If so, did Cinder use it? Or is Cinder here to get Ruby first? As like, okay, I brought Ruby, now give me the lamp. Why wouldn't Neo go with her? I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Turns out Neo's... Or remember, Cinder didn't speak, so it could still...
Well, at first I was thinking, oh, what if it's Neo in disguise? But then I thought, why was Neo disguised herself as Cinder? Nobody in that crowd would know who she is. Like, she could have disguised... And why disguise herself as... I feel like she could... If it was Neo, she would have disguised herself as anybody else. But we'll wait to see. I'd be happy if it is Neo, but... Like, I'm always happy for Neo, but...
Turns out it's not Team Ruby that falls in the abyss, it's none of the other characters, it's just Neo.
And then that's how they kill off Neo, and I'm like, no!
And then they're like, oh, we didn't kill her, so we could bring her back, and then never bring it up again.
The cycle starts again, where they're like, oh, she might come back. I'm like, we're doing this shit again.
Oh my god, yeah, I forgot about that they did that for ages.
Oh my god, I know, I don't want to go through that again. If you're going to kill her, just kill her.
Just end it, please.
So, that was a fine episode. Again, I just wish the fight was better. Like,
well, the Aesop's one better. Just Ironwood's just a bit longer.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, again, we've still got two episodes left or something, right? So there's still a chance for at least two more fights, maybe. Like,
yeah.
Spread them out over like two episodes, but. I'm still excited for where it's going to go, but I honestly feel as we're getting closer to the end, I really do feel like Volume 8 I'd unfortunately consider it maybe one of like the weaker volumes. I don't want to call it a bad one. I'd still put it above 1 and 5 easily. But after Volume 6 and 7 were so strong, Volume 8 does feel like a major step down so far to me.
Fair enough. I think I'm processing where I'd put it. I definitely agree it's way above 5 and above 1.
That's not a high bar to reach.
I do also love it. I'm like, oh, it's way above 5. And it's above 1 too. I am defensive of 1.
I know. Yes, I know you are.
1, so I'm like, look, it's not that bad. Considering.
I know I should probably say this when the volume actually does end. But, crap, I lost my train of thought. Oh, no, that's it, sorry.
Ah, there we go.
I feel like Volume 8, it has a lot of fantastic moments. Like, I think we can both agree it's had some of the best scenes in the entire show.
Mm-hmm.
but it's like everything else is just quite middling, in my opinion.
It's, I don't think it was, like, it's bad. It's just, it's following volume 6 and 7, which was so much better. It's kind of, it's not as good.
I feel like, I think the problem as well is that volume 8 should be one of, like, the best volumes in the show because of, like, you know, Salem enters the battlefield, Ironwood becoming a full-on villain, and, you know, the team sort of being split apart. But I think Volume 8, I may be repeating myself from a previous episode, but I think Volume 8 perfectly encapsulates why I feel like the structure of Ruby's volumes, how they're actually structured, I feel like is the thing that really holds it back.
Mm.
If this, I know I've said this before, if this was a 24-episode series with each episode running like 21 minutes long, I feel like that would lend it so much more freedom.
Yeah. It doesn't help that they then turn it into essentially a movie at the end.
In fact, remember when I said how it felt like Volume 7 could have been split into 2 volumes? Mm-hmm. I think Volume 8 could have been the same, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so, actually.
There is simply too much happening, and it means that things like Hazel and Emerald defecting don't get the attention they really deserve.
Hmm. It's a shame. And again, it also probably catches right. There's too many goddamn characters.
Yeah, and now they've added another one because they've got Emerald in their team now. This is what I mean when I say I want the if Team Ruby do fall into that abyss, like they get teleported somewhere else, and let's have the whole volume be about that. Just focus on the people who are supposed to be the main characters of this show.
They come back and Vacuo's just ruins.
I'd take that. A legit game, like, have the whole of Volume 9 just be about Team Ruby, maybe even like cross it into Volume 10 if you're feeling particularly spicy, and then have them finally they get back and they go, okay, let's meet up with the others, and Vacuo's already in the middle of a war, and like I don't know, Jean's missing an eye now, like,
oh god no.
Crow died off screen, like, oh.
Do you imagine it actually kill off Crow off screen?
No, but obviously I don't actually want those things. But like, have Team Ruby jump into the middle of like events that have already been going on. Because quite frankly, I feel like I know we've got to wrap up shortly, but I do feel like with Ren and Nora sort of like their little moment in the last episode, mm-hmm. I feel like Jean, Ren and Nora's character arcs are kind of complete now. Like, they don't really need any more attention or focus. So really, shuffle them off to the side. Like, we don't need to focus on those three anymore.
Just like having them there.
Yeah, obviously don't get rid of them completely, but like, don't let them take up too much of the spotlight now.
Hmm. Yeah. It's just going to be dependent how this volume's going to end and what's going to happen next volume. And also, yeah, like, what's going to be the end credit scene of this volume too.
I mean, if we get one.
I'm assuming we will. It's probably going to be Salem reforming herself.
Yeah, just Salem gets back together. Well, that was annoying. No, she shows up. What I miss? And like, Atlas is just empty. It's like, where the hell is everyone?
No, she goes, where is everyone? And you just then see Atlas smashing into the ground.
And you just hear an, ugh.
Yeah. And on that bombshell, we'll end it there. This is James all saying goodbye.
Oh, this is Michael Beckwith saying goodbye.
We will see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.